Wangarari Majinu, Paula Kruger, ABC Radio, Canberra Wurundjeri.
And on afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, well, the United Arab Emirates is the latest country to launch an unmanned probe headed to Mars. Now, advances in space technology potentially open up whole new worlds for people to explore. But what are the rules to prevent technologies, good technologies, from having negative outcomes in space? Well, let's find out a little more. With you is Dr. Stephen Coleman, Associate Professor of Ethics and Leadership at the University of New South Wales here in Canberra. Dr. Stephen Coleman, welcome to Afternoons.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, we're going to look to the skies because, you know, we get a bit down if we look too much to Earth. So we're going to look to the skies at the moment and talk about the ethics of space. Can you tell me, Dr. Stephen Coleman, who exactly owns the moon?
Nobody owns the moon. Really, the only major piece of international law regarding outer space is the Outer Space Treaty. And it makes it quite clear that no state can claim ownership of any body like the moon. So nobody owns it. It's recognised to be something that belongs to all of humanity.
Do you reckon that the Outer Space Treaty of, you know, just saying that no one owns it, is that going to hold as, you know, we get more and more nations being involved in stretching our reach into the stars?
Well, it gets messy. Because international law is really not like domestic law. Domestic law in Australia, in New South Wales, in the ACT, wherever you happen to be, you've got a government that creates the law, you've got police and courts that enforce it. International law doesn't work that way. International law is about states agreeing to certain things and then actually upholding it, and it can be very, very difficult to enforce. So if you've got a state like, for example, the United States, that says, well, we're going to do something different and we're not going to abide by stuff that we've said we were going to do before, then it's very difficult to actually enforce it. So if, for example, the United States was to say, well, we're going to claim a section of the moon, and just even if every other country in the world says, no, you can't do that, if they say, well, we're going to, what are you going to do about it? It's very difficult to actually do anything about it.
So can we change that by developing international laws and by developing space ethics?
Well, we can, but again, it's difficult. My view is always that the ethics comes before the law, that we make our laws based on what we think is right and wrong. And we don't change our view of what's right and wrong based on what the law is. We change the law on what we view is right and wrong. So if we think it's wrong for a state to claim ownership of the moon or a section of the moon, then we make laws based on that. But as I said, because international laws are just agreement between all of the nations on Earth, it's very difficult to enforce. And if one state or several states say they want to do something different and don't want to agree with everybody else, then it becomes very, very difficult to do anything about it.
Is there anything we can do if, you know, whatever's happening in space, whether it be the moon or satellites, is there anything we can do if space is being used for military purposes, something that is potentially a threat to us here on Earth?
Well, space has always been used for military purposes,
yep.
So it's not a new thing. In fact, the only thing that's actually banned by the Outer Space Treaty is placing weapons of mass destruction in orbit. It doesn't ban placing any other weapons in orbit. It doesn't ban placing weapons anywhere. It does ban placing permanent military installations, military bases on celestial bodies like the moon. But it doesn't really say a lot. So again, it's really, if there's something that's happening that we think is problematic, it's a matter of gathering as many international voices together as possible to protest it. But, you know, if we say, oh, well, this breaches that treaty, well, how do we enforce that, particularly against one of the world's major powers?
You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, and you're hearing from Dr. Stephen Coleman, Associate Professor of Ethics and Leadership at University of New South Wales, Canberra. And we're pretty much trying to pick our way through the ethics of the ethics in space and space law. And Dr. Stephen Coleman, what about when it comes to mining? You know, when we're looking at resources in space, do we have any sort of ethical structure or international legal structure to deal with that?
Again, it's really difficult. The legal structure is pretty much non-existent. There have been some attempts to try and put together some accords or treaties to discuss that. There's certainly stuff happening in that area at the moment, but there's a lot of disagreement about what's appropriate. The stuff from the original Outer Space Treaty and so on says one thing. The modern view seems to be rather different, particularly, again, in countries like the United States that are, to some extent at least, dominated by commercial interests. So if you've got US companies that are saying, well, we want to go out and mine asteroids, mine the moon, and so on, the US government as a whole seems to say, well, we think that's okay, and we don't care what other states think. And that, you know, certainly in legal terms is very problematic. And so it becomes just a matter of everybody who disagrees trying to influence the government and say, well, why, we think what you're doing is a problem. We think what you're doing is wrong, and you should actually change your behaviour.
So in your view, Dr. Stephen Coleman, does something need to be done pretty soon about developing a better legal structure for dealing with space?
Look, there are a lot of attempts going on at the moment. There's certainly a couple of quite significant attempts to create a legal structure. But again, it really comes down to the idea that international law is an agreement. And it's not really enforceable, particularly against the really powerful states in the world. If one of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, for example, says, well, we disagree with a ruling on international law, there's not a lot that any of the other states can do about it unless they really want to get nasty, you know, maybe even to the extent of saying, well, we're going to go to war with you unless you agree with this. And that is a really, really obviously significant step.
Yeah, going to war about something in space, going to war on land, I'm assuming, because of something in space, that would be a bit of a worry.
Look, either is possible. There's certainly been some discussion of it, and even, you know, fairly recent fictional depictions of it. The Netflix series Space Force has some, finishes its first season with some potential conflicts between different states arguing over areas on the moon and possibly going to war. Who knows if there will be another season where that will go. It's certainly something that's been part of fiction for quite a long time, and it's not implausible, unfortunately.
And if I can move your mind onto something like space tourism, Dr. Stephen Coleman, you know, there are people who are already registering interest for future rocket flights. How safe should space travel or space tourism be from your viewpoint, from an ethical viewpoint?
Well, look, I think if you're going to get involved in space tourism, that it ought to be really, really safe. Whether that's actually going to be the case or not is another matter. There's certainly plenty of activities that people get involved in, adventure sports, that maybe are not as safe as we might hope for. And I suspect space tourism might fit into that same category. Space is actually difficult. If you look at similar sorts of situations elsewhere, if you're trying to transport goods around the world, there's many ways that you can do it, and virtually everything arrives. Putting something into orbit is something quite different, and it's actually really difficult. I know personally of two failures in satellite launches in the recent past, and there's not all that many of them going on. So it's a fairly, it's a fairly difficult process, and it has got, compared to other things, quite a high failure rate. We've had significant fatalities in space operations in the past. If space tourism was to get underway, well, how safe should it be? How safe would people expect it to be? That's really what it comes down to in the end, probably what people are willing to accept. If a company says, well, we can put you into space and there's a 99% chance that everything will go fine and a 1% chance that things will go wrong, if you're willing to fork over your money for that, then the company's probably going to say, well, we'll go ahead with it.
Well, Dr. Stephen Coleman, some interesting thoughts there. Thanks for giving us your insights on Afternoons today.
That's all right. No problem.
That's Dr. Stephen Coleman is an Associate Professor of Ethics and Leadership at University of New South Wales, based here in Canberra.